I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the GunnaGeek network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
We interrupt this program for an urgent message from the President of the United States.
This is your president. On behalf of my country, and in the name of the other leaders of the world with whom I have today consulted, I hereby abdicate all authority and control over this planet to General Zod.
Zod.
Only by strict compliance with all his directions will the lives of innocent millions be spared. Superman, can you hear me? Superman, where?
Who is this Superman?
You'll find out, General. And when you do...
Come to me, Superman. If you dare, I defy you. Come. Come and kneel before Zod. Zod!
Here? When?
When? Where the hell have you been, Mac? On a desert island.
I have to go back.
You can't go back. There's no way now.
I have to. I've got to try, damn it. I've got to try something. Anything.
It's not your fault. You didn't know this was going to happen.
They knew. I heard him. I just didn't listen.
Welcome, everyone, to Smoking and Drinking in Capes, a superhero podcast from a couple guys who wish they had powers. This week, we head to Planet Houston and accept parachute pants and deep V-necks as our official uniform forever. It's 1980s Superman 2. But first, nobody's going to tell him which side of the railing to stand on. It's Jason. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Nobody puts Jason in a corner, huh?
That's right, and I'll jump off if I want to.
All right.
Or fall off.
Fall off. Yeah. Yeah, that was... Yeah. All right, news?
Just jump right in, right?
Let's just rip this Band-Aid off.
All right, so yeah. You heard about this blockbuster movie that everybody is watching, multiple times, called Madame Web, right?
Damn it. I have, and I'm hoping this isn't the same news article that I was going to be doing next week when we record Ghostbusters.
I suspect.
Let's go. Keep going.
There was an actress in Madame Web called Sydney Sweeney, right?
Was she in Madame Web?
Yeah, she was.
I had no idea.
She was in Madame Web, and she says that starring in Madame Web was a strategic business decision on her
part.
Right.
So I read this article. This isn't the same article that I've got, so we're still safe. I've got news for next week.
Okay, good.
But I did read this article. Yes, yeah, strategic business decision.
Yeah.
Yep. Continue.
Yeah.
I know why, but continue.
Basically, if you sign up, she signed up for this shit show of a movie.
Didn't know it was going to be shit show of a movie. Granted,
right.
2 years
true.
Ago.
True. When she signed up, it probably had a lot of promise, and they did have some top notch actors, and then they had the dude who played the villain.
So.
She basically said that she joined on the movie so she could build a relationship with Sony and get a couple of the movies that or the projects that she wanted to get done. So Anyone But You, which actually came out before Madame Web.
Right. She was an executive producer on.
Right.
Right.
She actually did Anyone But You. That was a huge success. Did $214 million worldwide for Sony.
Yeah.
So
rom-com.
Probably more than Madam Web did at this point.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but yes. You'll find out next week, Jason. You'll find out next week.
Oh, is that next week? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's next Wednesday.
We recorded that so long ago.
What? No. Like my news will talk about that next week.
Okay.
No time travel. No.
Okay.
Madam
okay.
Web's already come out. Yeah, yeah.
I thought so.
We already released it. Well, I know
I don't listen to the show.
I
don't try and track your fucking release schedule. I can't keep it. I mean, I would go insane trying to track your release schedule.
Well, that's
your
why
recording
we have...
to release schedule. I would need an entire wall full of fucking red string.
Well, so this is episode 94. We've already recorded episode 97 and 98. We're going to record episode 99 before we record episode 95.
Yeah.
We already have episode 90. 101. We have episode 101 already planned out, and ready to go. Yeah.
It's insanity.
It's
insanity working with you.
It is.
She's also going to be doing a remake of Barbarella.
I am all for Barbarella.
I know you are.
Okay, so I am super all right for Barbarella. I haven't seen the original. I've never seen Barbarella, right? I did watch, I can't remember for what. It was one of our saddest shows. I ended up watching the opening credits of Barbarella, where she's basically like, I don't know, wiggling around on a piece of glass to make it look like she's floating in like next to nothing. So I'm looking forward to that.
How did you end up watching that?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. But it had something to do with Satis. I don't remember the reason for it. It was so long ago. It was back when Crowley was on the show.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Right. And I can't remember what the reasoning was. It was probably like bimbos in outer space or something, or you know what? It was probably when we were first talking about because this Barbarella being remade has been out there for a long time. Like, as it was going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think Sydney Sweeney was attached.
No, but I think it was out there as being remade, and I might have mentioned it. I don't know. SP, I've got homework for you this week. Find out what episode I talked about Barbarella in, so that I can figure out how long ago it was that I watched that.
He's going to tell you to fuck off.
Probably. Please use something a little bit more tasteful than fuck off. Just so that I know that you listen to the show, because we know Jason doesn't. All right, what else you got?
I have to do the show with you. Why would I listen to it?
I don't know. What else you got?
All right, so you remember the couple guys who did a little show that wasn't real well known called... what was that show called? Game of Thrones.
I remember a show. It was set in the medieval time.
Yeah.
Knights and all that. There was a lot of boobs in it.
A lot of boobs. Yep.
Yeah. A little bit of blood.
Yep.
And I want to say there were some dragons.
Few dragons, yeah. So Weiss and Benioff are the two that you know produced Game of Thrones, did great for the first, what, six seasons and sucked mm-hmm. on seven
and then
eight.
Because it ran out of books.
Ran out of material and
right.
couldn't come up with material of their own. Well, you remember also when we were talking about a new Netflix show that was widely anticipated based off of another series of novels called the three Body Problem.
Yeah, Three Body Problem. Yes, I remember covering that, talking about that coming out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It turns out it's Weiss and Benioff that are doing that. I don't remember if we knew that at the time.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, so it's Weiss and Benioff that have attached or that are actually producing that show. So I'm not.
Doesn't that come out like next month?
Yeah, it should come out on Netflix in April.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't remember exactly.
Which I
when.
Guess is technically this month.
Right. Yeah, technically this month because of fucking time
reasons.
Travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure whether, because I was actually kind of looking forward to this and binge watching the first season whenever I pick up my Netflix subscription to binge watch all the other shows that we watch whenever we get Netflix for a month or two. Not real excited about it now, knowing their kind of track record with Game of Thrones, but maybe it'll be good for like the first few seasons and then it'll suck at the end.
Maybe. Do you think it'll be more than one season?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or do you
it's
think
also
this
got,
is more of
it's
like
also
a
got the producer
mini...
of True Blood on it, too. I remember talking about the producer
oh,
from True
yeah.
Blood.
Oh, Suki.
Oh, Suki.
Oh, Suki. I need to start watching that again.
It's on both Hulu and Max.
Right. I have it saved on Hulu, and then you told me that it was on Max. So I'm going to go to Max. That way, I don't lose my chubby during the commercials. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you said that out loud. You used your outside voice for that.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I hate it when I do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes that makes it awkward.
A little bit.
Yeah. Oh well, I thought it was going to be a mini series. I thought it was going to be like a one and done type of, you know, like a not like a one show, but like, you know, a one set of episodes and then be done with it.
No, there would have to be multiple seasons.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's a trilogy. The books are there's three books for the Three Body Problem.
Oh,
they're basically, I think, trying to do the first book in the, I guess, first season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so if they wanted to continue, which hasn't been greenlit by Netflix, they haven't greenlit successive seasons. So I guess they're going to figure out if they suck balls on the first season or not. And if they don't, they'll probably greenlight the next two.
Sweet. All right. Are we going to cover that?
I don't know yet.
Okay. I mean, we've got a bunch of other things that we've got to do.
Right.
We're running out of
We're running days. Out of April.
We're running a lot out of April.
Yeah.
Have you looked at April? April is packed.
Yeah, I know, and it's packed in real life, too. April's going to be a bitch.
April is... Good news, guys. There's a lot of things happening in April, but not for you. Yeah, nothing special happening in April, but we're busy. Let's see, you're gone that week, I'm gone that week, you're gone this week, we got something going on that week. Oh my goodness. Yeah
It's yeah. full it yeah. is full.
All right, what else you got?
That was only two. So have you heard about Alien Romulus?
Alien Romulus. So there was a thing that popped up on my phone that said Alien Romulus, and it was from IGN. So I went, oh, they're making a new Alien video game. Because, you know, nope. IGN.
Right.
But apparently it's a show. It's the title to the new show that they were doing? Because there was a new Alien thing in the works, right?
Yeah, so it's a title to, from what I understand, it's a movie.
Movie, okay. I thought they were doing an Alien... I thought they were doing an Alien show.
I don't think it's a series, although it doesn't specifically say in this article, which is kind of weird. No, it's a movie. Yeah, because at the end it says Alien Romulus is set to release in theaters August 16th, 2024. So apparently it's coming up really quick. This totally flew underneath my radar. I mean, I knew that they had another Alien project in the works.
Right.
But I didn't realize it was as far along as it is.
Wow.
So, yeah. So there's a new Alien franchise movie coming out. Now, the previous few Alien franchise movies haven't been phenomenal. So I'm not sure exactly how these things keep getting money, but they do. And so now Alien Romulus is coming out on August 16th. There is a new trailer out if you're interested in checking out to see. Basically, it's a bunch of young people trying to fight off facehuggers.
Okay. That's unoriginal.
Yeah.
But okay.
So, I think this takes place further in the past because the article mentions that the technology is still very low tech and analog. So
what was it? Oh no, I'm thinking Predator. I was thinking pre-Predator, Martog.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be pre-Alien versus Predator because right. That took place a little bit in the future.
Alien versus Predator. Wasn't that the one on the...
That was the one in Antarctica.
Right. So that was like common. That was like... Or common.
I thought that took place a little bit in the future.
I thought it was current.
I mean, it wasn't far off from convention or from modern times, but when does that take place? Released in 2000. No, when was that? Alien versus that's the fucking video game. Hold on. Oh no, this is the franchise. So when was the first movie? So I'm not sure if it was, set actually in 2004 because that's when the movie came out. I thought it was set a little bit ahead in the future, like maybe 20 years. So, 2024. So maybe it was set, as of today, but I didn't think it was set in 2004, but maybe it was. But even then, this would be
before then. So yeah, so they're kind of taking
Alien Romulus would be before.
Yeah, they're kind of taking a page out of the Predator book, I guess. Because the latest Predator movie.
Oh no! Wait. It says it's supposed to slot in between the first movie and the second movie. Well, then why is everything still low tech? The first movie and the second movie weren't necessarily low tech.
Oh, we had space travel and androids.
Yeah. Space travel, androids, even the weapons were kind of a little bit more high tech. They had that cool little mobile radar thing and Aliens.
A little pinger. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I don't. Okay.
Whatever. I don't know. Anyways.
Okay. Well, moving on, I guess. Is that it?
That's all I got.
Fine. Let's do the pod crawl then, because this one's a banger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
knowing how much work you put into it, I'm sure it is.
I put in a good solid time.
5 minutes?
No, it was longer than that.
6 minutes?
Maybe 6.5.
Yeah, that's still twice as long as you last in bed. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We can call it, a pod crawl? The pod crawl! Pod crawl! Pod crawl! Pod crawl! Excellent! Insert it deep! Pod crawl! Kind of like a space suppository full of information.
Movie opens with swirly lights, lots of brass instruments, and a giant boob in ice. We learn that if you murder a guy, break a crystal, and play with hula hoops, you get sent to the Phantom Zone. Did you forget what happened in the first movie? No biggie, we get a recap, except for the whole reversing the Earth to go back in time bit. They left that little tidbit out. Let's hit the high notes today. There's a terrorist attack on the Eiffel Tower. Lois jets over there to cover it. While there, she gets her cardio in by doing the steps on the tower. The French SWAT team have the great idea of cutting the cables to the elevator so the bomb drops down. Unfortunately, the terrorists had already primed the bomb and the dead man switch is activated. We are told that we have 60 seconds before the Big Bang. Luckily, Superman shows up, saves Lois by slowing the elevator, helping her out, and then flying the elevator into space past the moon before the 3 minutes are up and it explodes. Confused how 3 minutes equals 60 seconds? That's okay, we established in the first movie that Superman has time travel capabilities. That's how he was able to stop the bomb in time. Plot demands that the three criminals from before, henceforth known as the Phantom Menace, break free and be the big bad for Superman. So their little plane thingy happens to float through space near the explosion and the shock waves break the prison open. The Phantom Menace fly slash float to the moon, kill three astronauts and head for the planet Houston to rule over it. Back on Earth, Lois and Clark go on a new adventure involving a racketeering honeymoon operation at Niagara Falls. Real hard-hitting journalism. Due to some water on the glasses, Clark's disguise is figured out by Lois and she learns that Clark is Superman. During all of this, Lex has escaped prison in a hot air balloon. Yes, you heard right, Lex was able to climb a ladder that was dropped in the middle of the yard and escape in a hot air balloon that not a single person was able to see floating above them. Lex makes his way to the Fortress of Solitude and checks out the shows that Clark has been recording on his crystal VCR. One of them talks about the Phantom Menace, and a new plan is hatched to go find these guys because coincidence demanded that they be released from the prison and find their way to our planet. Let's just skip to the parts that really matter. Lois and Superman have dinner and sex, the Phantom Menace overtakes the White House and Supreme Chancellor Valorum demands a showdown under the bleachers with the Chosen One. Unfortunately, Superman doesn't get very good reception in the North, and doesn't get the memo before he has his powers removed for love. That's right, Lois falls in love with Superman, so Superman removes his powers and becomes immortal. Lois is okay with it because he was Superman, now he is Clark, but really used to be Superman, but can't do all the things that Superman can do. So is basically Clark, who Lois didn't love, but does now because he is Superman, but really isn't anymore because of an irreversible procedure to remove his powers. Confused? So is Lois. But again, that's okay, the irreversible procedure is reversible and Clark becomes Superman again and saves the day by performing the irreversible procedure on the Phantom Menace. So now Lois loves Superman once again, but we fix that by giving her a kiss that erases her memory and we are back where we started 2 hours ago, credits.
All right, 1980s Superman 2. What are your thoughts? I have some, but what are your thoughts?
This was not good. I don't like this movie very much at all.
Oh, good. Good. Those are my thoughts. This was boring.
It was pretty dull
Look, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. But I rather watch Fantastic Four again than
the
this.
The fuck? You're insane. No, that movie was much worse than this one.
Which one
this
do you
one
think I'm talking about?
This one at least had some entertainment value.
Which one do you think I'm talking about, though?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good one. So if you're talking about the 90s movie, yeah, I might prefer the 90s movie because that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. That's the one I was talking about. I rather watch that campy shit over this campy shit.
Yeah, I thought you were talking the 2015 version.
Why would
that we just reviewed.
Why would I subjugate myself to that again?
Hey, I don't know why you do half the things you do.
Because plot demands it.
Right. Now, this was a hodgepodge of two different directors, much like what we saw in Justice League, and it shows.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness. Yeah, I read some backstory. So I don't think I've ever seen this.
You've never seen Superman 2?
I don't think I have. I thought I had, but none of this seemed, bits and pieces seemed a little familiar, but I don't know if that's because I've seen bits and pieces of it here and there, or what have you. But I don't remember this one very well. And I did a little bit of searching because I was like, man, this is bad. You know, come to find out, yeah, it was
supposed to be.
Richard
Donner was originally signed on to do both Superman 1 and 2. In fact, they filmed all of Superman 1 and then filmed like 70-75% of Superman 2 at the same time.
Before they got rid of Donner, correct?
Yeah, and so when they were going to, they released Superman 1, they were about to start calling everybody back to do Superman 2, but one of the producers, not either of the Salkins, it was that third producer. I can't remember the third producer's name, but that producer and Richard Donner did not get along. And
that producer would be Spengler.
Spengler, yeah. So Spengler and Donner did not get along, and they wanted to make some changes. Donner was basically saying, I want full creative control. This is my baby. They said, fuck off. We're gonna basically, you know, we're going to replace you. So Lester, which is the guy who got credit for direction on this movie, he was already signed on as second director, which is basically the director that goes around and films, you know, the landscape
shots,
and some additional like extras shots and stuff like that.
B-roll.
And he was actually kind of brought in to facilitate like a peace between the producers and Donner and kind of make peace. And when that didn't happen, they said, oh, we'll just give this to Lester. But in order for Lester to get credit for directing the movie, he had to have a substantial, you know, creative impact to the movie. And he had only done, I mean, if he'd just done the reshoots or the finished the shots that needed to be done for the existing
enough
script, he would only had about 30% of the movie, and he wouldn't have gotten directing credit for that. So what he did was he did the rest of the 30% of the film plus a ton of reshoots, totally reconfigured, well, not totally, but greatly reconfigured the script. And so, yeah, about 70% of this movie are all Lester shots. Not only that, but Gene Hackman didn't come back to finish the rest of the shots because he was already out of contract because all of this took so much fucking time. Christopher Reeve was also out of contract at this point, and they had to renegotiate his contract to get him back. Yeah, this fucking production for the second movie, 75% done at this point. Production for the second movie was a shit show.
Yeah, yeah, it shows. It's
it really does.
Oh,
I mean,
it's bad.
It was like 2 years between the shots that they did from the first movie or the first filming, for the first and second movies, to the reshoots. And the additional shots that they needed to finish everything up. So hairstyles changed, costumes changed, and it shows. I mean, they had to get a stand-in and a voice actor for the additional Hackman shots that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad. The dude who tries to sound like Gene Hackman is not great.
Yeah,
and you can definitely tell the long, because they're all very wide shots for the stand-in for Gene Hackman, and you never see him from the front, so you can definitely tell the scenes where they had to shoot not Gene Hackman.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, okay, I'm going to get into the quibbles. All right, so first off, whose brilliant idea is it to give Well, first off, how does Zod and our Phantom Menace here? You like what I did there? That was a good one. That was a good one. Phantom Zone, Phantom Menace, because he was the Chancellor. It's like, oh, it just writes itself.
He's the general.
No, he was Supreme Chancellor Valorum in the Phantom Menace. It was General Zod.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, man,
yeah.
You didn't even just get that reference. Oh.
Yeah, I thought you were just doing a play on Phantom.
Well, we need to go back and re-record this. We need to re-record this whole thing so you can giggle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. He was. Holy
Stamp.
Shit.
Yeah, Terrence Stamp played Chancellor Valorum in The Phantom Menace.
Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah. The whole, like, having a showdown with the Chosen One, you know? God. Man, I can't believe you missed that. Your sci-fi cred card is seriously lacking.
Look, it's Star Wars. I could give two shits about Star Wars anymore.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, so this group is in the Phantom Zone. Phantom Zone just happens to float by Earth, whatever, blows up.
Right.
Okay, great. You know, the only thing that can break the Phantom Zone is a nuclear explosion. Hey, won't you know, some French terrorists made a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, not only is that super convenient.
Out of a 55-gallon drum of something.
Right. Not only is that super convenient, but I would think the explosion of a planet probably carries more energy in it than a single nuclear bomb.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And Krypton exploded shortly before they got shoved off into the Phantom Zone.
No, shortly after.
I would think that the shockwave from Krypton would have cracked their glass long before they made it to Earth to get, you know, conveniently broken out by a nuclear bomb.
Right, right. So not only does that happen, but then they get broken out and all of a sudden, and they immediately know that they have powers.
Right, yeah.
And how the powers work.
Yeah, because they immediately start flying. They do kind of explore their powers a little bit when they get to the moon. But they immediately just start flying once they leave the
Phantom glass.
The Phantom glass, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The rhombus? I don't even know what it is. The
Phantom rhombus?
Yeah, the Phantom plate glass. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, they start flying, using their powers, all this other stuff, and you know, it's like, God dang, you know, that's doesn't seem right at all. You know, and then now they have some sort of like finger gun powers that allow you to levitate people.
I love the additional powers they gave, not only them, but Superman. Superman has additional powers now, too.
Well, yeah. He can hypnotize you with a kiss. He has time travel capabilities, which we already knew he did from the first one.
Sure.
What other extra powers did they give him?
They gave him the hypnotization.
Right, yeah.
Hypnotizing.
Yeah, yeah. Kiss the... mind wipe with the kiss thing.
He can teleport. And he can
make multiple
images of himself. Yeah.
That's right. He can teleport. Yeah.
Apparently they can all teleport too. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That. Yeah. I guess he learned that from Flash, because Flash can make duplicate copies of himself because he moves so fast. I don't know.
Well, but these are more like holograms, because she goes to hug him and she walks right through him.
Yeah, this is just, this thing sucked. I mean,
it did. It really did. So
it moved so slow.
The first one I enjoy. Now, the first one does have some camp in it, but it's not super cheesy camp. I mean, the whole, you know, flying really fast around Earth to make it go backwards, to make time go backwards, was really fucking stupid.
Well, yeah.
And
that
was a quibble that we pointed out whenever we did the first Superman movie. But the rest of it was fairly charming, you know, and the plot was, you know, decent. It flowed well. The character chemistry was fine. It was the makings. It was the beginnings of an epic, which is what I think Donner was looking for here.
Right.
Lester turned this into a fucking comedy farce is what he did. I mean,
it was a shit show.
It was bad. I mean, the acting from the Kryptonians, from Zod and Zor-El and what's his face?
Non.
It was just horrible. It was, I mean, she was way fucking over the top. He acted like he didn't want to be there.
What acting are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it exactly. Looked like they were just, like, honestly, Terrence, he's done some good stuff. It's like he was just standing there reading flashcards. Because he never really had any action or movement, right? I mean, it's like every time that he spoke, it's like, oh, I don't know my lines, so you need to put them on flashcards for me, and I will stand here and monologue them to you, yeah. And everybody work around me. Oh, you need me to do something. Okay, I will point my finger in the shape of a finger gun, and you will levitate, sir. Fear me.
Yeah, the whole levitation power was new too. I didn't understand that either. Yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah.
Really...
Now I did find it a little funny that Ursa, the female, basically has a patch fetish.
I know. Yeah, she gets that one badge, and then she starts accumulating patches and badges and shit.
Yeah, every time you see her, she's got a new badge on her.
She's got a new trinket. She's got some more flair.
She can go work at
oh my God, what is the...
TGI Fridays, is that the one that had...
Well, I was thinking the fictional one from Office Space, and it just flew out of my head.
Oh, not shenanigans. Hoolies. No, a hooligans.
Oh, man. Yeah, whatever it is.
Office. Tchotchke's Bar and Grill.
Tchotchke's, that's it.
And then, you know, it's the 80s. I get it. But everybody's so they're basically wearing the same uniform except for Ursa. Hers has slits.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
On the legs and the arms.
Correct. Yes. Because you've got to show leg. When you're a military, soldier and you're a girl, you have to show your legs. That's how you win.
And arms.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just, but the boys, you know, they had basically the same suit. I mean, it had the same poofy pants and all that other. Just like, God, this is so bad. I really hope you didn't. Did you believe the love story?
I don't think the chemistry was as strong in this one as it was in the last one. Which is kind of weird because I think a lot of those scenes that they used between, some of the scenes that they used between Kidder and Reeves were filmed from the first filming session.
So what I don't, yeah, and it doesn't, you know, Lois so much as says, "I'm in love with Superman." Right. I mean, that's what she tells Clark.
Right.
Right. I'm in love with Superman. Okay. So Superman gets exposed and she still says, "I'm in love with Superman." Never says, I'm in love with you as a person. I am in love with you as a symbol.
Right.
So what does Clark do? He gets rid of what makes him Superman.
Right, yeah.
And she's totally fine with it, which contradicts everything that she just said because she had said, I am in love with Superman.
Well, so, I mean, you can say that he got rid of Superman's powers, but he is still Superman. So this is kind of the age long question of the age long philosophical kind of, God, it just slipped out of my head. The philosophical concept that the uniform or the
is Clark Superman or is Superman Clark?
Right. And Superman is Clark. So Clark is the uniform or the costume that Superman wears to blend in with everybody, right?
Okay.
He is Superman. That's who he is at his core. He dresses up as Clark and that's his costume.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, someone like Batman is Bruce Wayne, but he dresses up as Batman. Batman is his costume.
No, see, I think Batman is Batman and his costume is Bruce Wayne.
No, Bruce Wayne is, even though I can see where you would say that, but it's Bruce Wayne's trauma that made him come up with Batman.
Okay.
He was Bruce Wayne first. The trauma is what shaped him into Batman.
Right. But I think
Superman, Jor-El is Jor-El first. His interactions with people on Earth and his growing up with the Kents is what shaped him into Clark. And so Clark is the costume that he wears.
I don't know. I buy into the Smallville portrayal of Superman and Clark more than I do the other way around. I see Clark, yes, he's got these powers and everything like that, but I see Clark as being not as much of a costume as you would think.
But it is. I mean, he had to suppress his powers as a child. I mean, he couldn't go out for sports. He couldn't show his powers. He couldn't do the things that he wanted to with his powers. He had to suppress them.
Yeah, okay.
Dressing up as Clark.
I got you. Okay, so dressing up as Clark, yes. But I think without that, Superman is not Superman. Because we see that with like General Zod and some of the others, you know, his upbringing is what made him, you know, his morals and all that stuff are because of his upbringing, not because of him being Superman.
That's a good argument too. In fact, they kind of explored that argument in a comic series where he didn't crash land in Kansas.
Red
he
Sun.
Crash landed in the Soviet Union.
Right. And he's Red Sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did that also on Supergirl on the CW. They kind of did a what would happen if she got captured by the Soviets instead of ending up with the Kents or not the Kents, but you know, whoever ended up being there, but with Kara Danvers. So I mean, I will agree that the clumsiness and the weakness that he portrays as Clark is a mask, is a costume. But I think there is still a lot of Clark that is Superman. You know what I mean? There's stuff that he got from the Kents and the stuff that shaped him that he shows as Clark that are still very much Superman. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, it is a conundrum of which one's which, but, or, you know, which, which one's the real dude.
And I think we saw the real dude once he got stripped of his powers. You could still see the Superman personality.
Yeah.
Come out of that chamber, right?
Yeah,
he was still acting as Superman. Even in the bar where he got his ass handed to him,
right?
He was still acting as Superman. He was standing up for what was right, and then he got his ass handed to him because he had never, you know, been in a fair fight in his life.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, I don't.
Of course, what? That wasn't really blood? A fair fight either. The dude cold cocked him in the back of the head.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, he was still doing that, you know. But even then, it's the reason. Okay, so the reasoning that Lois gave, I am in love with Superman. Which, if we take that at face value, I'm in love with Superman. Okay, so what is Superman? Superman is this being, this person that can fly. And stands up for what's right, and is really strong, and swoops me off of my feet, yada, 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 yada. And then those powers are gone. Technically not, you know, the piece that, maybe not all of it that makes him Superman is gone. You know, there's still the mentality there. But the things that she fell in love with, or that she was in love with, are missing.
Well, yet she's still okay. She either wasn't in love with the powers, she was in love with the man behind the powers, or that good deep dicking that he gave her after he lost his powers.
That's what I was thinking. Is he made up for
losing the powers?
Yeah. He still shoots rainbows. that was going to be my next thought process is, okay, maybe she didn't like it, and then, you know, they went to the silver bed and rocked her world, and she's like, okay, all right, I you can
I'm
be
good
my
without your powers, yeah,
you can be my Superman every day.
But
just in that kind of stuff, you know, it just, I don't know. It seemed very, it was rushed. Let's go that direction. It felt
well,
very.
Well, it was rushed and it was convoluted. I mean, the whole fucking thing, his mom, you know, in the hologram thing said,
yeah,
you cannot come back from this. This is irreversible.
Uh-huh.
Don't do this unless you really, really want to, because you'll never get your powers back again. You'll be immortal forever.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Last chance. You got in the chair. Are you sure? Are you still?
And he did it.
You want to get it? No.
Yeah. He did it. Got his ass handed to him, found out that Zod came back and totally reversed it, like within like a few days.
Yeah, the power of the green crystal.
Yeah, it was, what the fuck? I thought this was irreversible.
Yeah, yeah.
It was about as irreversible as, you know, I don't know, a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was just like, what the hell, you know, and... So I thought, because I didn't, again, I haven't seen, I don't remember seeing this. My thinking is, you know, that thing gets mentioned and he's like, okay, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. Or he's about to, and Lois is like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. I like you the way you are. We'll figure it out. I mean, why do you have to turn mortal? Are you afraid that your rainbow jizz is going to like blow a hole through the...
Yeah, that was one of my questions, was why did he have to lose his powers to date Lois?
It's... Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. I was thinking that he finds this out and he's like, oh, I can get rid of my powers. And then it's like, oh, okay, think about that for the future, because that's how we're going to defeat Zod and everything, which inevitably they do, but in a convoluted way, because he lost his powers and then got his powers back and blah, blah, blah. You know,
right.
So, you know, I would have been okay with all this setup and everything like that if they would have just skipped out, or, you know, removed the part where he went and removed his powers. Right. You know, or do it like they do in the comics or whatever. He's got a ring that suppresses his powers while he's wearing it. There's a certain color kryptonite that apparently suppresses your powers. Whatever. You know, but no. They went left field and then I guess the producers or the writers traveled really fast and went back in time and undid it.
Yeah, so I don't know. The people that have owned the film rights to Superman have been not great stewards of the rights to Superman for film. It's
right.
So the Salkins were the ones that owned the film rights during this time, and then it moved on to, oh my God, what is his name? He was the one that wanted Superman to fight the giant
spider.
Giant spider.
The giant spider. Yeah. Oh, well, he did Wild Wild West.
Yeah. God, what is his name? It was the hairdresser that came into a bunch of money and then bought the rights to Superman from the Salkins.
Hold on. I'm looking. I'm doing it the easy way. Wild West. Peters. Sonnerfeld. Barry Sonnenfeld and produced by John Peters.
John Peters.
Yeah, John Peters.
So John Peters hasn't been or wasn't a great steward of the Superman. I can't remember who has the film rights now.
So Peters bought the film rights in the 90s. Yeah, so it was kind of funny. it's weird. People are listening to me. I had a thing come up talking about Kevin Smith, and because Kevin Smith wrote a script for the new Superman for Peters.
Yeah, yeah, he was the one that talked to Peters, and yeah. Peters said, "I want him to fight a giant spider." Kevin Smith wrote that fucking script.
Right. Wrote it because he wanted it to be kind of like an homage to King Kong or whatever. He wrote that damn script. And then they went a different direction, or it got canceled, or whatever.
It got canceled because that was supposed to be the Nicolas Cage one. Yeah, the Nick Cage one.
Yeah. So it got canceled. Shit happened. And then he's like, and then Peters did Wild Wild West. And wouldn't you know what comes out of the damn canyon? A giant fucking spider.
Yeah, we talked about this during our Wild Wild West coverage on Saddus. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, the people that do Superman kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, the Zack Snyder Superman wasn't terrible. I was okay with that one. The whole Batman versus Superman thing with Martha was a little forced. But yeah, live action Superman, not that great.
I mean, so the Brandon Routh Superman Returns wasn't bad.
Oh yeah. That one wasn't bad.
Yeah, that one wasn't bad. I liked the Man of Steel.
Yeah, and Man of Steel was good.
I liked Superman, the Zack Snyder Superman too. Although Zack Snyder's Superman and the Man of Steel were pretty much just remakes of Superman 1 and Superman 2.
Yes.
Which I'm fine with because I thought they did a better job with these.
Yeah. Yeah. What else has there been? Oh, that's about it.
Well, there's Superman 3 and there's Superman 4.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, which...
So Superman 4, I think that one was the first one with Peters, right? No, that was produced by Golan and Globus.
That was a Lester project as well.
Lester. No, Lester Spangler. Didn't direct 4.
3. I was looking at 3.
Yeah, 3. Yeah, Lester directed 3. The Salkins did 3 as well, produced 3. But they didn't produce 4. They sold the Superman franchise to Golan and Globus. They did that in 1985. So Golan and Globus are the ones that I didn't realize they'd owned the Superman franchise in between Salkind and Peters. So they did Superman 4, which was horrible.
Mm-hmm. That's the nukes. Nuclear Quest for Peace or whatever.
It was actually a storyline that was pitched by Reeve.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why? Was he just like... Was he trying to get...
I mean, the nuclear armament... There was a buildup of nuclear arms between the Soviets and the U.S. at that time. So, you know... getting rid of the bombs was a big push at that point. And I think that was kind of the onus. It was in the zeitgeist at the time.
Yeah.
Nuclear weapons.
Yeah. The whole Superman, it's bounced around like crazy.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, back to this stupid thing.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's not great. So, unless you get something else, let's move. Let's get off of this. Got anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Great. Superpower roll call.
I'm going with Superman.
Which one?
Well, the OG Superman.
The powered Superman, not the
depowered
Superman.
Yeah, because we're doing superhero roll call and depowered Superman is not a superhero.
Oh, but he tried to be. He tried to be a hero.
Well, so. He tried to be.
Yeah. All right, yep, same thing. Let's just I'm going to stick with Superman as well. How about some awards? You get some awards?
A few.
Great. Black Lung.
Black Lung. Black Lung is going to go to Lois.
Okay.
She smokes like a chimney.
Yep. Mine is the same. I gave it to Lois, especially because of her smoker's voice.
she's got that, it's a little that gravel voice.
It's a little extra raspy in this one compared to the first one. Headlush for me, I'm going to give it to the hillbilly arm wrestling dudes.
Okay.
Yeah. You?
So for me, it's going to go to Lois again because she drinks like a, she drinks like a fish.
She does. She does. But apparently doesn't swim like one.
No. She doesn't swim in raging waters very well.
No, not at all. What about your player?
Player, I'm going to give this to Superman.
Okay.
I'm going to give this to Jor-El.
All right. Any particular reason?
Kal-El. Jor-El is his dad.
Right.
Kal-El. Well, because, I mean, yeah, he had Lois wrapped around his little finger. In fact, she had no other eyes for anybody else. She friend-zoned Clark really fucking quick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so, yeah.
How about you, SP? Who are you going to give your player to?
It depends on what kind of player we're talking about.
I didn't know SP had slipped in
here. Oh, he slipped in as you were doing your player for...
He's a sneaky one.
Superman 2.
Superman 2? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, it's been a while since I've seen Superman 2.
Well, you've got time. You also have homework. I'm just giving you a heads up. You've got homework on this this recording.
Okay. Well, you know, I was listening to you guys, and you guys were very upset that I had not appeared.
That you hadn't jumped in.
So I was
we felt neglected.
Okay.
Yeah. You're a little late. We've already done the news. Unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. I don't have any news other than Starship, but
Yeah, which that's old news by now.
You know, it's been a while since I've seen it, but just going through the cast list, I'll have to give my player to Jimmy.
Okay.
Player to Jimmy? Like yeah. Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah, because you know he had something going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
Sure. Sure, the two scenes that he was in?
Yeah, all two scenes, right?
All two scenes.
He was playing around with, you know, all the other times he wasn't, you know, on the
set. Oh, he was busy the whole time. I gotcha. That's why he couldn't be in the movie.
Oh, this was the one with Richard Pryor. Oh, yeah.
No, Superman
no, that's
2.
Three.
Yeah, no, this is the one with General Zod.
Oh. Well.
And Niagara Falls. And made up superpowers.
Well, I'll have to. Now, did you guys watch the Donner cut or just the regular one?
No, the regular one, the original.
Okay.
The one that Lester got credit for. The one that he hacked together with stuff that was filmed along with Superman 1 that Donner had filmed and the stuff that he refilmed.
Did you guys compare Superman 2 to the modern day Superman 2, which was Justice League?
Just a little bit. No, actually, the modern Superman 2 was Man of Steel.
What was the first one, then?
First one.
Oh, what was the second one?
Batman versus Superman?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No. There were... So, the one where Zod was about to terraform the Earth.
That's Man of Steel.
Okay, well, that would have been Superman 2.
I don't know. It's DC, guys. You know me and DC. The whole Star League Tribune kind of burned me out on it.
Yeah, so Man of Steel is basically... I mean, if you take Superman Returns as kind of, I don't know, a sequel to the original Superman series, but a retelling of Superman 1, because that's basically what it is. I mean, mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey is playing Lex Luthor. He's basically doing the same thing, trying to kill Superman, which parallels the plot of the original Superman. And then you take Man of Steel as kind of a remake of Superman 2, because that's where General Zod and Ursa and what's-his-face come back to Earth. They're trying to terraform Earth in their image so that they can take over.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, there's a... I thought it was striking. There was a scene that they recreated in Man of Steel from Superman 2, and that's where Superman has Nod or General Zod on his knees in front of him, holding him by his throat.
Oh,
you can see that in Man of Steel right before he breaks his neck, because in Man of Steel, he's actually using his eye vision about to chop a couple people in two.
He gets really mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman 2 had Clifton James in it. Man, I need to see this. Where'd you guys get it from? Where did you
Max.
Watch it on your...
It's on Max.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Which I don't have, so I'll have to
what?
Find other means. Well, I have Apple TV Plus instead, and that's been going pretty good.
Well, you're
fair
not,
enough.
You're not missing much.
Yeah, I know. If Dune comes out and it's on Max, I might sneak in to watch Max, because I listened to your review on Dune 2. And all over on Smoking and Drinking in Space, and was like, yeah, that's about cool.
So good.
Yeah. It was good.
So good. You
good.
Definitely should go see it. Well, I mean, it's still in theaters, so you could go see it in theaters.
If I had a friend that I was with last weekend that wanted to go see it, I might have been able to go see it. But the friend
you know,
I was with.
If I knew of a friend last weekend that I was with that had suggested we go see Dune 2, Dune Part 2, I would have gone seen that with him.
Again. Yeah.
I think it might have been suggested and dismissed.
Just I don't remember. Yeah, wow. I don't remember ever hearing anything from a friend of mine like that.
Wow,
we've got a
lover's quarrel happening.
a little bit.
do we need to get the therapist involved?
Who is the therapist? If it's you, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
So, SP, please tell me where he touched you in, on the no-no place.
No, because you touch yourself in those places.
I do.
We even had, you know, a photo, a much funner photo between the two of us, and we weren't touching.
That is true, but well, there was a lot of smiling.
In the photo.
There was a lot of smiling.
Behind the scenes, there was another thing. Yeah.
Just prior to the photo, and then right after the photo.
Well, now you guys are going to make me go see Superman 2, so I'm going to go watch that before I listen to the rest of your episode.
Yeah.
All right. This is one of those movies where you probably shouldn't, because we watched it, so you don't have to.
It is.
You should go watch Man of Steel instead. It's a better movie.
Yeah, I might.
But we're not talking about Man of Steel, so you'll be a little confused, but not much. It'll be all right.
It'd be the same amount of confusion as watching Superman 2, right?
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you get on with the rest of your awards. Thank you very much for entertaining me, and I will catch you guys the next time I can drop in on you.
All right.
All right, man. Thanks, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
All right. Okay. So player for me, you said Superman. I'm going to give it to Superman as well, because he got rid of his powers, but was still able to go and do the dirty in the bed.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess his powers don't affect his chubbies. Yeah.
No, he was still good to go. Purple Hippo, you know, why not? I gave it to Perry because he was seeing stars after getting hit in the head with an acoustic tile.
I know.
Right? He gets knocked the hell out from an acoustic tile.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
He's got a soft spot.
his brain's not full. His skull isn't fully developed. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. How about you?
So mine is going to go to General Zod.
Okay.
The look on his face, I mean, this is probably the best acting that we got out of this actor mm-hmm. in the entire fucking movie. But the look on his face when he starts getting his hand crushed from Superman after his power stripped out. Yeah, that is definitely an out-of-body experience, because he'd never really probably felt pain like that ever.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay. General Zod's going to get mine.
Excellent. All right, sir. It is random pick time. I need you to do a better job this week than you did last week, okay?
Hey, look. I think there was something going on behind the scenes.
Yes,
I think you picked this.
I did. I
on your own.
I made it move where it needed to move. All right, well, you've got between 1 and, we're still at 1 and 90.
How's that?
Well, because, like, this one didn't get technically taken off the list, because there's still 3 and 4.
Oh, God.
So, we're still at 1 and 90.
All right. So, this came out in 1980.
Mm-hmm, it did.
We'll go 80.
Okay. Tell me when to stop, sir.
Stop, sir.
Stop, sir. All right. Set in an era where superheroes are commonly known and accepted, young William Stronghold, the son of the Commander and Jetstream, tries to find a balance between being a normal teenager and an extraordinary being.
Oh, goddamn. This does not sound like a good movie.
Stars Kurt Russell, Kelly Preston. And
oh, God damn it. Is this fucking Superhero High or whatever the fuck that is called?
It is 2005's Sky High.
God damn it.
Oh, man. Oh,
fuck.
Yep. That's going to do it for today, though. Our intro and outro music is Demon by JVNA. Podcrawl music is Snack Mix by Machette. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can leave us feedback on our Discord channel over at smokinganddrinkinandcapes.com/discord, or you can email us at smokinganddrinkinandcapes@outlook.com. Be sure to visit the Gunna Geek Network for other great shows over at gunnageek.com. I just want to know, how much did the actor of Non get paid? Because he didn't say a damn word.
He didn't.
Mm-mm.
He had to act with his eyes.
With his eyes.
Yeah.
All right. See you next time.